This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray. It's good to pray with you. And look, if you are new to the Chaplet, maybe you read my book on Divine Mercy, and I've had a lot of people say, never heard of this prayer before, and now they're praying it. You can get in with your intention at 888-914-9149. If you've fallen in love with Divine Mercy, tell one other person about it, okay? What a great way to spread the message of mercy. You don't need to know all the history. You don't need to know about Faustina or quote the diary or anything else, right? What the popes have said, or you don't need it. You just need to say, hey, join us for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's a great prayer, and of course, you can learn a lot more. I've fallen in love with the devotion, and the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, you know? So, 888-914-9149. I got another book to tell you about, though. And this one is done by Father Rocky. And I'm going to be praying today with Beth. She's one of our creative service directors. I think that's her new title now. Very talented in terms of graphic design. And we were just commenting on the cover for Father Rocky's new book. He wrote one on the rosary. And Father will be joining me tomorrow after the chapel. We'll talk more about it. The book's called Treasures of the Rosary. And it's a reflections by those who prayed it. John Paul II, great champion of the rosary, he added the luminous mysteries, of course, and St. Jose Maria Escriva has wonderful meditations and reflections on it. Father, of course, an Opus Dei priest, is going to reflect as well on the litany. So it's an interesting and compelling read, and if you love the rosary, this will add, I think, some dimension to it. The good news for you, and this is what's so fun, it's free, just like my book. You know, and I credit Relevant Radio for saying, hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for spreading devotion to the chapel. Thanks for spreading devotion to the rosary. So you can get it by going to relevantradio.com or the mobile app and tell others about it as well. It's a great thing. We'll talk more about it coming up here. But Beth, by the way, I was thanking Beth. I was saying, man, the cover looks great. She goes, I can't take credit. I got to give credit to the master. I said, the master? She's Botticelli, right? No, if Jack, it looks great. Yeah, you got a mic? There you go. There you go, Beth.
Thank you.
So you did a good job. You're a Botticelli student now. You're one of the pupils. That's great. A lot of work putting a book together, huh?
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A lot of thank yous, Eddie. Yeah. Beth, thank you. Thank you for praying with me. Yeah. All right, on a serious note, do you have anything you want to pray for?
I'll just offer prayers for my parents, my mom and dad.
All right, we'll certainly pray for them. And I want to lift up just one or two quick intentions that came in here, then we'll grab your phone calls, okay? This person says, I've got a few requests, and they focus on finances. My husband's been out of a job for nearly 18 months. By the grace of God, we've been able to pay our bills and keep food on the table. But to do this, however, we've taken more debt. I've been on a roller coaster for nearly a decade. My request is just that my husband finds a job and that I become more disciplined to eliminate debt. Would you please keep us in your prayers? And I won't reveal your name, but I will certainly pray for you. And I'll give your initials KS. I'll tell you what. I know what that's like, and I'll tell you what. God can remedy that situation in a way you cannot even imagine. And give your husband the perfect job, one that will fulfill him and one that will really financially bless you. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for God's providence. In fact, maybe tomorrow I'll talk about God's providence. I've got some great stories. I've got a friend who's struggling right now to find a house, and he's going through kind of a tough time. And I said, I've got to share a personal story with you. And I've never shared it on the air or really with anybody, but I got to share with him a story about how God's providence is big and surprising. And he wants to give big. We limit God by saying, oh, this is too big of a prayer. Oh, he'll never help me get out of debt. Oh, he'll never. Oh, why do we pray like that? Why do you do that? Why do you limit God? He created the universe. My daughter pointed out a passage in the diary of St. Faustina about how the Lord promised. He offered to Faustina a whole new world he would create for her, more beautiful than this, right? And she said, you could create 1,000 worlds, 1,000. All I want is you. Right. All I want to, but think about that for a moment. That's how creative and generous our Heavenly Father is. So don't limit God. That's what I always say when we pray. Another person said, hey, could you pray for David? He's been struggling with alcohol and very deep depression. He has a mental break. He had a mental breakdown and is suicidal. And pray for his mother who is with him. Help pray that she can make the right decisions. So I want to pray for those people in particular. And I want to pray for you. So let's do that right now. Okay. Lots of answered prayers too. Tomorrow I'm going to give you answered prayers. We won't do petitions. We'll do answered prayers for you. Well, thank God for all those great prayers that are coming in. By the way, as God hears your prayers, as the providence comes in, or the surgery's not needed, or the relationship's healed, or that perfect job comes your way, email me, drew@relevantradio.com, okay? Drew@relevantradio.com. In like the memo field or the byline, just put an answered prayer and then tell me how God came through for you, especially through the chaplain, all right? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And I want to pray for that lady. Remember I was asking yesterday to pray for this woman, Kay Burke. She's a great friend of Relevant, and I've known her. I've traveled with her in the past. I called her after I left the studio yesterday, driving home, and she came to mind. So I thought, let's just see how she's doing. And I was supposed to see her in about a week, and we were going to hang out. And she has to go in for surgery on the 14th, and then on, I think, the 19th or 21st. It's serious back surgery. So I want to pray for anyone who's having back problems, okay? I want to lift them up and pray in particular for successful surgery and for complete healing, where I know that can be a lot of pain. Marilyn is listening in Long Beach, California. Marilyn, good afternoon. It's great to have you with me today.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing
well. I just want to pray. So I know it's materialistic, but my son's bike was stolen on Tuesday. That's his only way of transportation. He's 21 years old. And for his anger issues, and for my sister whose right leg is being twisted, she's saying somebody's doing voodoo. Anyway, she done everything against our faith. She left the church. So I want to pray for that as well. Right. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Have a blessed one.
Marilyn, thanks. And yes. Just one quick note. We can pray for materialistic things. You know, I mean, and it's an important intention that you have. You know, your son had his bike stolen. It's a way that he can get around and get to work. And God wants to answer all of our prayers. And so often we have to think we only have to pray for spiritual things. Of course, they're important, and I don't want to diminish that, but you know, you might be struggling financially. You might have lost that wedding ring or those car keys, or, you know, the bike might have been stolen. Let's pray for God to resolve those situations. He wants to, and he will. So we're going to lift that up. We'll pray for anyone with anger issues, a lot of marriages and a lot of relationships that are destroyed because of that. There's a lot of people who have wounds that they need to come to heal in order to resolve those anger issues. So, Lord, I ask you to reach deep and to heal those who are struggling now with anger and and the loved ones who've got to contend with that. But I also pray for this woman who claims voodoo is being done on her. My advice to her, Marilyn, is get to confession, all right? Get back to church. Blanket yourself in the protection and the armor of our Lord, all right? And that's part of the problem. She needs to get back to God and amend her ways. But we'll pray for her healing. I'm going to pray for protection for anyone who's been cursed, who's dabbling in the occult, who's playing with Ouija boards or seances or mediumships or anything that could, open the door to the evil one, to demonic influences. I'm going to pray for those who are on the who are doing the conjuring, who are the Church of Satan, who are dabbling in witchcraft. Lord, I pray for these very confused souls, and I ask for your mercy on them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I'm going to pray for Minnie. She listens in Carson, California, and just sent me an email. Her mother passed away. And she's just asking us to pray for the repose of the soul of her mother. She says a lot of people said she was like Saint Mother Teresa. So we'll pray for all those who mourn today and all those who've lost loved ones. Carol in Westmont, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like for you to pray for my son, John Paul. He's 29 years old. From my understanding, he's addicted to the marijuana, and he does drink also. Mm-hmm. He's gone through many jobs. He lives with me. I lost my husband 2 years ago, and he's staying with me, and I don't want to throw him out. I keep praying the rosary. I keep praying the divine chaplet for my son. I do have two other children, too, but this guy, my son, I have to ask for prayer because I named him after my brother who had passed away because of drugs, okay? Yeah. His first name, I named him John. His middle name was supposed to be his first name. I named it Paul. Huh. It just so happened that we had a pope that was John Paul, and he sent me a text saying, "Why did you name me after your druggy brother?" History has a way of repeating itself. I was so torn up about that. So just pray. I'm not going to take any more of your time. God bless you, and thank you for listening to me.
All right. Carol, look, as a mother, I just want you to – I wish you to keep praying for your son, okay? And my heart goes out. I can't tell you how many mothers I know whose sons battled addiction. You know, I have spouses that battled addiction, and I know what a cross it is. And believe me, I cannot tell you how my heart goes out to him. But I also have seen the fruit of prayer, and I want you to know that. I know sometimes it sounds hollow when you're dealing with this. Everything I've done, I prayed. I'm not seeing any fruit. You got to keep praying, and that's my advice to anyone who's listening. The Lord said, "Look, encourage souls to come to me. You know, to trust in me." To have confidence in me. I'll do everything for them. So you keep coming to the Lord. You bring him your son. And this is one of those prayers that I believe is always heard and answered. I believe the Lord wants our children free from drugs. I believe he wants your loved one, your spouse, is freed from addiction. I believe that he will hear that prayer and answer it. And you just got to be faithful. You got to trust in the Lord, be consistent in your prayer, and stand on that promise. And I think we'll all see the fruit of it. I'm convinced of it. Maybe it's a childlike faith, but that's one. I've seen it. So that's why I say this to you. I've seen it. And I want you to know that, okay? So if you're dealing with this, wherever you are, hang in there. All right, let's pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jake is monitoring Twitter, and you can send us your petitions at Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Very simple. Please follow us there. Also, you can send them to drew@relevantradio.com. But Jake, I know you've been following a lot of petitions that have been coming in. What's up?
Yeah, a lot of tweets, a lot of direct messages coming in as well. And we'd always love to hear from our listeners. And specifically today, we're praying for Julene, who has been recently diagnosed with a form of pancreatic cancer, and she's going to be starting her chemotherapy soon for that. We're lifting up all of those who have COVID, been brought to our attention that Deacon Douglas Herbert is in the ICU with COVID right now. So we pray for him, for his health, and also for his family. And also Bill Pattenhout. He's a regular guest here on the show. Well, he emailed the show and said, hey, can you pray for my mom's friend? Her name is Peggy, and Peggy has overcome cancer in the past, but unfortunately, they're thinking that she has a possible infection of the brain now.
Oh, no.
They're still trying to figure everything out, but, you know, of course, we're storming heaven for prayer. She just sounds like a wonderful person that we need to lift up today.
Yeah, and I was praying my rosary today. I was praying the Luminous Mysteries, and on the second Luminous Mystery where waters turned to wine, you know, the Virgin interceded for the wedding feast at Cana. I lifted everyone who's praying with us in this particular moment up in a particular way. And I really ask God to work miracles in your life as well. So let's really ask through the intercession of the Mother of Mercy, through our Lord's great mercy, that he'll hear all those prayers. Let me bring Francisco in, too. He's in Indio, California, and let his intention join us as well. Francisco, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to put a prayer petition of a miracle.
Sure.
For my cousin. She is in a hospital right now. Her name is Guadalupe Alvarado. They're doing some tests on her heart, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with that. So I pray for, I hold a big cup for a miracle for her.
Amen.
And also for my grandpa, which is, he's on prostate cancer. He has prostate cancer.
Yeah.
So I pray for the Lord to heal him.
You got it. Well, Francisco, thank you for calling. Thanks for your faith. I like that, holding out that big cup. And we'll pray for those miracles. Let's not limit God. That's what we started with, right? Let's pray big. Lord, I ask for your mercy on everyone who is praying with me right now. I give you Francisco's intentions, those on Twitter, those who've emailed me, those who are crying out to you. Hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll invite Teresa from Hayward, California to pray with us. Hi, Teresa. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. I do want to ask for prayers for my anxiety, for God to help me overcome it. It is affecting the quality of my life. And also for my boys, one of them is having some cold symptoms. We brought him in for a test yesterday. We haven't received the results yet. We pray that it's they come back negative. And also for my other son, too, he's starting to have some symptoms, too. So I hope and just pray for healing for them and for our family.
All right. Well, let's lift up all those intentions and let's pray for you. I know that anxiety can be very crippling. And you are not alone. There are a lot of people and a lot of children, a lot of young adults who are suffering with this. And I lift up every intention that you have just voiced. But Lord, I give to you in particular those with social anxiety, just anxiety disorders, period. And I just ask that you heal. Whatever the cause of that is, that you remedy. Lord, you'll give them the ability to be able to fulfill the great mission that you have set before them. You know, Christ is the good physician. And I think about this. We often think of the cancers and the back problems and the ailments that we have, but there's no disease that he can't heal. There's no problem he cannot remedy. There is no sin he cannot remove, no trouble he cannot help. And we just have to really believe that, and we really have to trust him in that. Those with suicidal ideation, those with anxiety, those with depression, those with cancer, those with financial problems, those with a whole myriad of issues. Lord, I give you these souls, and we ask for your healing as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Margaret is praying in Chicago. Good afternoon, Margaret. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call and your ministry. I would like to pray today for my friend Maureen. You prayed for her about a year ago. She was in a terrible hit-and-run accident, and she's having her 14th surgery tomorrow. Wow. So I'm holding that big cup out for a miracle for her. She, at 60 years old, just finished school to be a social worker, just to help people. So I'm just praying for healing and just that she can just get her life back.
You got
And I'd also like to pray for Salim, who is in jail for a crime he did not commit, and for my brother-in-law's depression, and for peace and healing for my mom and her brother, who are in assisted living. And, you know, they're both having struggles now. And just peace and grace for them.
Let's pray for you too, Margaret. I know you didn't ask for anything personally. I know the Lord knows your heart. And it's charitable praying for others. I give you every one of those intentions. Again, I want to pray for those incarcerated and pray for those victims of accident. And look, I give you all of your spiritual children united with me here. We stand before the foot of the cross of your Son, and we ask for your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's Pride Month. Cartoon Network is celebrating LGBTQIA plus kids and families who radiate joy,
Happy Pride Month,
inclusivity, and authentic self-expression.
I am Jax, and I use he, they pronouns. I have a piece that is related to queer motivation and power. The most common negative thing that I have heard regarding my queer experiences have been that I'm confused, but I'm quite the opposite of that. I am so certain of who I am.
It's what's inside that people don't know.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Can you believe what you just heard? That's been on kids' networks like Nickelodeon and the Cartoon Network, and it's been on just this past month. you'd be scrambling to find the remote if your kids were watching that, I would imagine. I saw some stunning, stunning statistics the other day, and I thought, you know, like, we have got to talk about this. And again, I'm here to light a candle, not to curse the darkness, but I, as parents, we are primary educators of our kids, right? And we have to do our part to protect them, you know, protect their innocence, to form them well. And there's been a tidal wave of LGBT characters in children's programming, and, you know, it's not an accident. And I'm not here to throw stones. I'm here to pull back the veil to say to you, hey, check out what's happening. And this is a coordinated campaign between the networks, between the writers, between the producers, and the directors to target your kids, to play sexualized themes before these very young audiences. If you think, oh, that's not really, Drew, come on. Check this number out. 222% increase in LGBT characters and stories between 2017 and 2019. A 222% increase in these characters and stories in 24-month period? That should give us all pause. You know, my wife was talking. I was telling her. She was asking, hey, what's on the show today? So this morning, as I was preparing, she said to me, I shared the story. I said, you know, Dr. Teresa Farnan is going to be stopping by. I love talking with her. And we're going to talk about the targeting of our kids and on our, you know, there's a whole lot of other issues we're going to be diving into. She said, well, did you see that commercial? And I don't know what it was for, but, you know, you're even seeing on mainstream television now, two men in bed, they were like checking out their phone or something. And then, you know, they turn over and they shut the light off. And it's an attempt to normalize and to make mainstream a lot of this particular behavior. And like, I think it's important for us to discuss. I think it's important to understand what God wants. You know, people constantly complain about the Catholic Church. They claim the church, it's obsessed with sex, right? You hear that a lot? I've heard that a lot. You know, all the church cares about is abortion and gay marriage and transgenderism. That's the claim that's often being made against the church, right? Because the people want license. They don't want truth, right? They want permission. They don't want truth. They don't want to be held accountable, right? They want to do what they want to do. It's about self. So, yeah, maybe the people who say that they're, you know, the church is all about that, they're not looking in the mirror. There's a study done on kids' TV programming. And in just those 2 years, the number of gay and lesbian and transgender characters, it's gone up 222%. And that's not an accident. Research by Entertainment Insider, it found that the gay lobby has been pushing Hollywood. They've been pushing them to get more LGBT characters into programming in general. They've been pushing it. And you know what? It's not just adult programming. I mean, you might have a problem with that, but adults, you hope, are well-formed. They can make their own decisions. Kids are vulnerable. And this is evil. And I'm going to call it as it is. I really see Satan's fingerprints on this. My wife was, I mentioned in this tour, I said, you know, why are they doing this? It's an indoctrination ideology. If you get the kids when they're malleable, when they're innocent, when they're formative, and you target them with this stuff, and you tell them that this is normal, that this is reality, you form them in this way, you've got them. You know, Jake was saying to me before the show, he says, you know what, Nickelodeon prepares kids for MTV. It's progressive, same company. So according to the rise of gender-diverse representation, you know, this is according to the Insider, it says, quote, the rise of gender-diverse representation isn't a coincidence. Shows created and run by queer women, trans, and non-binary showrunners are largely responsible for the influx of non-binary and trans characters in kids' animation. Breitbart News found that there were 259 gay characters. 259 gay characters in TV programs aimed at children. Are you okay with that? I think the number of those with same-sex attraction in the country is somewhere around 3%. Might be a little bit less, might be a little bit more right now. But we're seeing hundreds of percent increases. We're seeing 259 gay characters in TV programming aimed at your children, at kids. That means they're targeting younger and younger kids with the message. And the message is contrary to reality. It's contrary to what God has created, what God has ordained, and what is right. Now, I'm going to call it the way it is, and that's not a lack of charity. It's just trying to be truthful with you. You know, so it confuses these children. It makes it easier for kids to think that, you know, oh, maybe I'm not a heterosexual. You know, I'll give you a quick example of some other audio. And Jake, you have that, right? Is it it's the Pride song?
The Pride
song,
right? Yeah.
Hey, set that up. Tell them what that's all about.
And people may have heard this. They may not have heard about this. But honestly, you just have to hear it for yourself. It's just going to absolutely blow you away, the fact that Nickelodeon brought on a drag queen named, I think, Nina West. And the drag queen sing about Pride parades. And when you watch the video, you see, like, cartoon depictions of two men together with kids in a float at a parade. And just listen to how insane this song sounds.
All these families. Hi, families. It's time for a Pride parade. Families marching one by one. Hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one. Hurrah. This family has two mommies. They love each other so proudly. And they all go marching in the big parade.
This family has two mommies and they go marching proudly. Yeah, okay.
I have a headache.
I don't want to be uncharitable. Gosh, I know is probably everyone listening has a friend or a family member or colleague that has same-sex attraction. And I always want to approach everything as the church approaches it, with love and with charity. We also have to speak truth. And I'm really concerned about our kids. I'm concerned about the future of the country. Actress Christy Alley, remember her from Cheers and a whole bunch of other shows? She was watching TV. She tweeted out recently that she says, look, I was watching TV. And she says, we've gone too far, in my opinion. I feel sorry for our children. She says, this exposure to everything perverse on every kind of screen is mind-boggling. She says, even more tragic, it's being hyped as normal. You know, you're right. You are absolutely right. Bravo for speaking some truth and some reality. She went on to say that no other generation has had such easy access to the underbelly of humanity. So many screens and chronic bombardment of images and concepts. She says our current society would have been praising Caligula. And she ended her tweet. And I love it. Good job, Miss Alley. She says, protect your children. All right, protect your children. Bravo. Bravo. Look, this is where we are. I'm giving you the percentages. I'm giving you the facts. I'm making you aware. It's your job as a parent to make sure as a primary educator of your kid, to make sure they're protected. And we should hold these networks accountable. We're seeing a drop-off. Was it Nickelodeon, Jake, where we saw the ratings go down? Or
Yeah, Nickelodeon is at a – I don't have the exact stats, but it's been a precipitous drop in ratings over the past couple of months.
Ever since they started doing this stuff, we just see the
– Yeah, parents
and bravo. And we saw what happened in the NFL. I mean, people, your actions, you think I'm just one person? You know, one candle can pierce the darkness, but 1,000 can banish it. And I think the same thing happens when – we all take action like that against things that we don't like. I'm joined right now by Dr. Teresa Farnan. Loves talking with her. She co-authored a book called Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public Schools Before It Is Too Late. And she is the co-founder of the Person and Identity Project. And I'll get you that web address for that. So you can check it out. I think it's personandidentity.com. You can check her out there. Always good to have her rational, clear thinking perspective on these issues. And doctor, it's good to talk with you today. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you for having me on. And I love being here with you and your listeners. You've always got fantastic phone calls. And, in terms of the topic you're discussing today, I just want to point out, even in 2017, when the Gallup, the census in 2017 said that the percentage of Americans who identified as LGBT was 4.5%. Gallup did a poll and asked people how many people identified as LGBT in the general population, and young adults said close to 30%.
Wow.
Right? So that was back in 2017.
Wow.
Imagine what it is now.
Stunning.
And the reason why young adults believe that was because from really like over the last decade, this has been pushed relentlessly into their programming and mainstreamed in their schools so that they think that this is easily a quarter of the American public identifies as LGBT. And it's having an effect on them, too, because we're seeing rising numbers in school systems where LGBT ideology is pushed into the public schools. We're seeing rising numbers of young people who identify as LGBT or who will identify as gender fluid or gender non-binary. It is having an effect on our kids. And, I'm glad people are finally paying attention to it, but I really you know, people need to understand the gravity of this, because this is a systematic attempt to change our children's worldview, or change their view of marriage and the family. And it's been going on for the last decade, if not last two decades, from the time they pushed Heather Has Two Mommies into the New York City public schools.
Yeah, and we're seeing it, as you just pointed out, with those numbers. I mean, that to me, I'm shocked. You always knew 3-4% was the same-sex attracted population. LGBT, I don't know whether it was any higher if people thought they were bi or trans. But to be 30%, and I wonder if it's become so accepted that more people feel free and uninhibited to say, yes, that's who I am. They would never admit to it in the past, so the numbers were always higher. Or whether or not the influence of social media and the constant mantra that comes from these TV shows and the exposure that our kids get is distorting their thinking. It's not really the case, but there's a certain level of confusion there.
I think it's, I really do believe that it's the latter. I think there is a distortion because the visibility is so elevated. And if you think about children's programming, and the Blues Clues Pride Parade is a great example, you know, including families with same-sex couples as part of the family structure normalizes it. So the kids think, of course, you can have families with a mother and a father. You can have a single parent who, either by reason of death or divorce or never having been married, maybe is a single parent trying to raise her kids, or you have two parents. And I'll tell you what, I mean, TV has had, well, I typically, anyone who's listened to me knows that typically I'm you know, talking about the influence of the public schools. I think one of the turning points for normalizing same-sex marriage was the TV show The Fosters. Way back, almost like 10 years ago, where the false dichotomy that so many of our young people bought into was that there are all these kids in foster care, and same-sex couples want to accept them, and so it's better for them to go to a same-sex couple than to not have a family at all. And that was what was presented to them, right? That's a classic false dichotomy, meaning, well, it doesn't have to be one or another. We have plenty of Catholic social services that are working to place children in couples that are, you know, a traditional family. But nevertheless, that had, I remember my kids were in grade school and high school, and I remember talking to some of my kids about how that was the topic of conversation with their friends. And it was a TV show that changed that attitude among kids.
The Fosters was on ABC Family. Their slogan, a new kind of family. So you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, it's subtle, but I'm telling you what, I think it's very effective. You take a look at communist nations, you take a look at other dictatorships or totalitarian regimes, they understand the power of the media to change minds and to form hearts. You know, they understand what propaganda can do. And we're seeing this within our own country, and we are a free nation, right? But the powers to be understand how effective television and social media can be. But they're targeting kids, as you and I have said, we've talked about in the past, because they know they have children. They own the future. They own the future. So we'll take a few calls. If you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Feel free to sound off, share your own experiences, or just join the conversation. Tom is listening in San Francisco. Doctor, he's got a comment for you. Tom, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Farnan.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I live in San Francisco, and if anybody had any doubts about any of what you just shared, all they have to do is come down here and see for themselves. I'm sure it's not just San Francisco, but I understand it's also, there's a very vibrant gay scene in New York, here in Castro. We also here have in the city a drag queen, which is obviously a burlesque, raunchy adult figure in the red light district, coming on at children's hour at the public library doing children's readings in front of, kids. And then just this past week in Los Angeles, I don't know if people know, but at the We Spa, transgendered individual with male genitalia was coming into the women's Korean all-nude bathing area, taking a bath in the common area where there are moms and little girls. And the moms spoke out about this, and they were attacked. The spa did nothing about it. It's all over Twitter, but the news media obviously is not covering this. And it's very upsetting, especially after the event when the protesters, the moms went out there to protest this. Yep. They were met by aggressive Antifa folks out there threatening their lives and their safety. And the police were not out there to do anything about this.
First of all, thank you for calling. Go ahead, doctor. I'll let you respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, terrific phone call. And, and I just, you know, I hesitate to send people to this, but the Washington Post just this last week ran a column where a guest writer argued that people should not try to dial back the amount of, you know, perversion, she used a different word, that was present and visible in Pride Parade just because kids are present. Jeez. And her point was, this activist writer, she said, it's good for kids to see these kinds of perversions on display. And she describes them in detail. And they're no longer shy about it. We wrote about this in 2015. In our book, we wrote about an episode in 2015 where an activist named Bear Bergdahl said publicly in an article in the Huffington Post, I'm coming for your kids. Yeah. I want your kids to accept my lifestyle and I want them to reject your Judeo-Christian values. Wow. And when that blew up at the time, a lot of gay activists said, no, he was just kidding. He didn't mean that. That's, you're taking it out of context. Well, no, he stated the truth and it's on full display here, whether it's through TV programming or whether it's, you know, the Washington Post, one of the most mainstream newspapers, arguing that we need more perversion on display for our kids to see.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, it's also important for people to see this is an attempt to convert our children.
Yes.
It is a different worldview. It is a different approach to marriage. Yep. They have the zeal and the fervor of a religion. They are approaching this systematically and methodically. They are hiring their own and slowly but surely pushing conservatives and Catholics out. So, you know, the old argument, just go make your own movie, no longer applies because Hollywood will not like
it. Yeah, it's an attack on Judeo-Christian principles, as you so clearly pointed out. When we come back, we'll have to talk about Rod Dreher wrote an article in the American Conservative I saw earlier today. It's called, the headline was Gay Group Will Convert Your Children. So there is an agenda. They're not hiding it. They're not trying to say, oh, no, that's not the case. They're letting parents know, we're coming for your kids. We'll talk about that more when I return.
We should celebrate pride and be proud of ourselves.
Stand up for being yourself. There's no one else like you.
I'm proud of my mom's.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Nickelodeon confirms SpongeBob SquarePants is a member of the LGBTQ+ community. The network wrote on Twitter, celebrating pride with the LGBTQ+ community and their allies this month and every month. The Nickelodeon account shared a picture of SpongeBob alongside a snap of transgender Canadian actor Michael Cohen from hit show Henry Danger and Korra from The Legend of Korra, who is bisexual.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Say it's not true. I love SpongeBob, right? Love SpongeBob. Do you let your kids watch SpongeBob? That report came from E! News. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. Teresa Farnan. We're taking a look at, a number of different issues here, how TV networks have increased the targeting of their agenda, this LGBTQ plus, et cetera, agenda at your kids. There's been a 222% increase in just a 24-month period, and we're seeing directors and actors and producers and everybody in on this. There's been a 259 new LGBT characters have been added to these programs. They're targeting your kids. They're targeting your kids. In fact, I saw a story. Dr. Farnan and I were just talking during the break about this one. This comes out of, what did I see it? I think it was the American Conservative, Rob Dreher. Earlier today I saw it. He wrote a piece talking about how a San Francisco men's choir, gay choir, wants to target our children. Doctor, fill everyone in on that. I mean, a gay group coming out, they're not hiding this. They're saying, look, we'll convert your children. That's your concern, parents.
It is, you know, it it's the kind of thing we were accused of believing, you know, baselessly about 10 years ago. Everybody thought we were paranoid for saying, no, they want to change our children's views over, you know, and undermine parental control. But there was the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir had a song that they produced that starts off with, you think we'll corrupt your kids, fine, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children, happens bit by bit, quietly and suddenly, and you will barely notice it. And goes on to say, and you'll be disgusted when they start finding things online that you've kept from their site. I mean, on and on and on, the whole song, it's like, you know, seven stanzas of how they're going to convert our children. And, you know, right after the Supreme Court issued their opinion their opinions in Windsor and Obergefell, the common theme that everybody, you know, what we were supposed to do for the culture war, conservatives and Christians, anyone with Judeo-Christian values, we were all supposed to step back and say, okay, now we're going to coexist with all these same-sex couples. And that was an illusion because that was never the intention of the activists. And now they're being explicit about it. So people need to understand this is about changing your child's hearts and minds so that when you come out and you say to your kids, marriage is between a man and a woman, your children hear that and think, my parents are bigots and haters, and I can't accept that. Yep. That is what they will believe because they've been groomed from childhood on. And this is really, it is a form of intellectual grooming, cultural grooming.
That's a great way of putting it.
To lead them to this acceptance.
It's such a great way of putting it. Intellectual grooming, you're absolutely right. One of your colleagues, I know you know Noelle Merring, she was on with us, I think, earlier in this week or last week. She wrote a piece called Our Rainbow Religion, you know, which lets us become as gods. She says, look, there's no denying that America has a new civic religion. You know, the U.S. flag now is deliberately, she said, and effectively tarnished in the minds of many as a symbol of racism. I talked about Macy Gray thinking that the stripes are too white and people turning their back on it. And, you know, the flag has gotten no respect. How many men and women have shed blood for the freedoms that everyone here in this nation enjoys? And we disrespect the flag. But instead, she makes the case the flag's been tarnished and it's been replaced with a rainbow flag proclaiming to the entire world. She says the new genital dogmas and pelvic creed, though that was a poetic way of putting it. But I mean, what is it about this, about human sexuality and you know, homosexuality and some of this distorted type of behavior that has become so accepted and so worshipped and so mainstream? And the way she put it, it's a new world with genitalia dogmas and pelvic creeds.
And this was the prophecy of Our Lady of Fatima, our century, this was going to be an age where people were going to commit sins that were sexual in nature and people would be rejecting sexual morality. We're seeing what happens, and what happens, it's not, there's no such thing as, you know, someone being able to engage in this without it having an effect on the wider community. So we're seeing, in terms of the wider community, from the time we went all in on, you know, the idea that you could have commitment-free sex and people accepted contraception and then they redefined marriage, we're seeing the ripple effect this has on the family, and it's been devastating, especially for vulnerable individuals.
All right, let's go to Sarah in Orange County, California. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. This topic is just so scary as a parent. I have a 2.5-year-old son and a 4-month-old daughter. We just moved to a new community this past November, and our next door neighbors, who introduced themselves as, you know, having two teenage sons, recently we noticed within the past month that they started referring to one of their younger sons as a her and changed the name from Kyle to Kylie.
Wow.
And they never really said anything to us. It's just like they just thought they could just do that and nobody would notice, I guess.
Wow.
But my husband and I just don't even know what we should do. So I just wanted your advice on that.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I think increasingly families, rather than depending on the community around them and their neighbors and the public school and everything else to socialize their children, you're going to have to seek out other families with the same values. I mean, we're just at that point. I know Rod Dreher's written a lot about that. And that's the basis for his Benedict option. But we're not called to hide in a ghetto, but your children need to socialize with other children who share their values, because what's happening with our younger generation is the socialization with peers who reject religion or who reject sexual morality is having an effect on what they think about marriage and family.
Well, let me say,
you know.
And Sarah, thank you for your call. I want to see one last quick call in here because I know we're getting close to the top of the hour break. Ron in Los Angeles, you got to make it quick, but I think you got a great question here.
My question is, thank you for taking the call for starters, but I am 60 years old, 61 by October. I have looked at and listened to all this barrage that's been in my face, and I see this as a next civil war happening, but beyond prayer, what on earth do we do?
All right, that's such a good question. So people often say we need to pray, and of course that animates all of our work. Doctor, I'm going to give you the final thoughts of less than a minute. What do we do to make a difference here, to protect our kids and to change this rising tide of this radical ideology?
Well, I mean, we have to be unafraid to speak out. We have to be unafraid to say to people, my religion teaches this about the nature and meaning of marriage. And you can do it without being judgmental or harsh towards other people. But if we're not proclaiming the faith, something else is rushing into the vacuum. So we have to be unafraid to talk about the beauty of Christian marriage, the beauty of our faith, and why it's important to understand that children deserve and need a mother and a father. And in addition to that, really support these young families, young couples you see in church where it's a mother and a father, and maybe their kids are screaming and everything. You got to really provide a lot of support to those young families so that they see the church as their community.
Hey.
And that's, I think, how we're going to have to start.
That's Dr. Teresa Farnan. Doctor, I know people can check you out. You offer tremendous resources at personandidentity.com. Personandidentity.com. She's a co-founder of that wonderful project. And stay with me. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. There's more on the other side.